Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. David, we're going to take on a topic today. It's very timely, but it's also important that people begin to understand, because the world is taking this completely out of context with everything that's going on over in the Middle East right now. Riots over here in the United States. There's all kinds of things going around. And so what we're going to do today is point out the Palestinian myth, because there's a lot there that I think people need to know about. In fact, I know they need to know about it, yet it's hidden in all media, I think all across the world, unless I'm mistaken there. But I don't think anybody's actually telling the truth about the situation right now, and it's something that needs to be talked about. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, even the name Palestine just comes from the Romans named it that because they wanted to call it the Philistines after the the people that were there before the Jews, and then God gave a land to them. But we forgot to pray.
Yeah, I'm going to let you do that right now, and then I'll show everybody the topics.
All right, good. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, for revealing truth to us. We ask that this would be a seed for those who go out there, and then the harvest would come of people receiving the Lord as their Savior. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to put up the topics list here that we hope to get to today. And as you can see there, that we got the Russian-Ukrainian update, as usual. Then the Middle East update. We're going to talk a little bit about anti-Semitism and Christian persecution that's ongoing across the globe right now. And then we're going to get into the Palestinian myth. And that's what we're going to spend most of the time on today, because it is simply a myth. A lot of what you know is a myth anyway. But before we even get into any of that, David, I want us to talk about this particular subject. Just look at this one real quick. This happened on Thursday, I believe. This is women's rights and a gender policy. Now, this is from the United Kingdom. Their Supreme Court ruled that the legal definition of woman under the Equality Act refers exclusively to biological females, excluding transgender women. The decision emerged from a dispute between the feminist group for Women Scotland and the Scottish government over a 2018 law that mandated 50% of female representation on public boards, which included transgender women with gender recognition certificates in the count. Then you've got Melanie Field, a former civil servant instrumental in drafting that Equality Act, criticized this ruling, stating that it contradicts the Act's original intentions, which were to grant transgender individuals with gender recognition certificates the same legal status as biological men and women. The ruling, which relies on basic common sense, has led to confusion among some far-left extremist law policymakers, with some officials unable to understand access to public facilities for transgender individuals should be determined by their gender at birth and not by any mental disorder or gender confusion. So I'd like to what do you think about all that stuff?
And do you think that's funny? Because here they are, they're eating themselves again. Because, you know, on one hand, you have the whole feminist movement, which, not anti-woman, but just the whole feminist movement was technically anti-men. But then they kind of blamed you for being that. And now, women are strong, women are this, women are that. But then you got men becoming the women again, too. So now they're like, okay, who's the worst idiot here? But my question is not really that, because they're just going to be confused, because the Bible says they're going to be confused. Mm-hmm. It will give them over to strong delusion. That's where they're at.
Right.
My question stems from this. Why did they draft this rule to begin with? Was it because of Christian values, or because, you know, all the Muslims are taking over there. Yeah. And the Muslim Sharia law basically says that you can't be gay, mm-hmm. Or you're going to get stoned. And then, you know, this tranny thing is just, no, that's just out of the picture altogether. So are they doing it because of pressure from Muslim groups and they're just not saying it, or are they actually coming back to common sense, which I doubt.
Which I doubt too. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. It's something that I need to research actually, and we'll find out, you know, and maybe we can address it on a future show. But I mean, something spurred the decision, you know, I don't know. I mean, there was a case, so, you know, I'll do some more digging on that.
I mean, we need a law similar to that here.
We do.
I guess defunding everybody is a good start.
Well, you know, was it Title IX, I believe, is what it's called, where in collegiate sports, anyway, you had to have, I think, the same number of female sports as you do male sports, something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got females competing against females. Well, that's great. But if you got a man who calls himself a woman and he competes against them, then he's got an unfair advantage. Automatically, and if you don't understand that, then you don't understand biology. You know, I mean,
men are just bigger and stronger. It's just the way it is. It's you know, it's called male genes.
Yeah,
and we were designed that way. So just because you're a fruitcake and you got a mental disorder and you say I'm a woman now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you don't have the male genes.
Right,
that you can't just go, okay, I don't have those anymore. Yeah, yeah. No, you're still bigger and stronger, and it is an unfair advantage.
Yeah,
plus, they need not be on the field. They need to be in a psychiatrist's office.
I agree. Okay, let's look at the Russian-Ukrainian update here. Russia has launched a significant spring offensive in northeastern Ukraine, focusing on some regions up there in the northern part of the country. The Ukrainian military officials are reporting increased assaults along multiple fronts with heavy fighting. There's also unconfirmed reports of Chinese mercenaries participating in the Russian military operations. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio on Friday warned that the United States might withdraw from peace negotiations altogether if no progress is made within days. And I have seen a report since this was created that said that President Trump agrees with that assessment. Anyway, such a move would leave Ukraine in a very dire situation, as without U.S. support in the form of military aid, satellite assistance, and money, it's highly unlikely any coalition of European nations would be sufficient to prevent the complete defeat of the Ukraine. And I have heard, David, many people, you know, France is speaking up a lot. What's that little guy's name over there? I don't know. Anyway.
Macron?
Yeah. I mean, he seems to be
Macaroon?
Involved in everything for some reason. But
yeah, he's trying to be relevant.
Yeah, but do you think that by themselves, the European Union could put together enough of a military that would be any deterrent to Russia if Russia decided that they were going to do what they were going to do?
They can scream all they want. The bottom line is, are these young men actually going to go join and say, okay, I'll do what you want and I'll go fight and risk my life way over there because you want this agenda? I don't think so.
Not either.
We don't see that in Ukraine. They're all running away. They're like, no, we're not going to fight this war.
Yeah. And they're losing territory, you know, and I think Zelensky is running out of allies, you know. People are beginning to catch on. Yeah, people are catching on. All right, we're going to move straight on over now to Israel and Hamas over there in Gaza. Israeli airstrikes intensified across the Gaza Strip this week, resulting in at least 50 Hamas terrorist deaths on Friday alone. The strikes targeted areas in both the north and south, including Khan Yunis, where many of the terrorists are. While the UN and many nations continue to criticize the Israeli strikes, they also fail to acknowledge that it was Hamas that began the war in the first place, and that the war would end immediately if they would simply release the Israeli hostages and disarm the terrorists there in Gaza. Now, this includes the fact that once again, Hamas has rejected Israel's latest ceasefire proposal, which included the release of 10 hostages, just 10, in exchange for a 45-day ceasefire. Hamas demands a comprehensive deal that ensures a full Israeli withdrawal from Gaza and the lifting of the blockade while allowing them to remain a threat to Israel, regroup, and rearm. The humanitarian situation in Gaza remains stable despite the United Nations warning of a looming humanitarian catastrophe if access to essential services is not restored. The reports I'm getting, David, continue to show that sufficient supplies within Gaza for a minimum of 6 months are still in place because they stole all of the aid that was sent in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still got plenty. And, you know, they come up with some ridiculous demands, you know. And so sometimes I like to put myself in that position if I was a hostage. Now me, yeah, in my position, being basically an old man who's lived my life and, you know, I've strong and all that, I was like, you know what? Don't submit to them. Don't submit to that at all. I'll stay here. And if they kill me, they kill me. But then there's kids over there and there's women and they're doing all this stuff. So you really have to weigh that out. But the biggest part is, you know, they're going to lie. So even if you say, okay, we'll do all that, then they'll say, okay, well, you're weak and we're not going to give you your hostages back anyway.
No.
So well, that therein lies their issue over there. What we can do from around the world is just pray for those people that are hostages, that they would receive the Lord and have comfort in there. Even for Hamas, you know, hey, maybe, you know, the Lord comes in and all of them have a dream on the same night and all of a sudden they're Christians and they do the right thing. Wouldn't that be a trip?
Yeah, that well, also, I'm getting more and more reports of Gazans actually chasing now Hamas terrorist through the streets. And
really?
So yeah, so they're tired of it, David. The residents there are just tired of it. They don't really care who is going to be in charge. Under Hamas, they're fine. They'd go right back under Hamas and do exactly what they did before with no questions asked. As long as they could eat. And as long as they're, as long as they had a place to live and their house wouldn't get blown up all the time or to keep moving them all around the country to keep from getting killed, you know, they're fed up. That is basically what it comes down to. They don't care who's in charge. They just want somebody to be in charge and somebody that will give them some safety. That, at least that's, you know, what I think.
Most people are like that. Hey, just, you know, give me a righteous ruler.
Yeah.
The problem is they're not. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving again, we go to Hezbollah in Lebanon. The Israeli Air Force has conducted a drone strike in Sidon, southern Lebanon. That killed Mohammed Abdullah, a Hezbollah operative responsible for the group's communication systems. Now, this marks the latest in a series of Israeli operations targeting Hezbollah personnel, despite a ceasefire agreement. The United Nations reports that at least 71 civilians have been killed in Lebanon since the ceasefire took effect on October 27, 2023, while ignoring the fact that Hezbollah continues drone and missile attacks launched by Hezbollah at civilian areas inside of Israel. So, you know, it's okay for them to do that, but it's not okay for Israel to take out the terrorist. Makes no sense. Syria and Yemen. Israel has announced that its troops will remain in designated security zones within Gaza, within Lebanon and Syria indefinitely. In Yemen, the Houthi-affiliated media reported that U.S. airstrikes on Ras Isa, a governorate, killed at least 74 people and wounded another 126. And yet again, the world's media, as well as the United Nations, failed to mention the ongoing attacks towards civilian areas within Israel, which are the reason for the continued highly targeted attacks conducted by the Israelis purely in self-defense. So again, you know, it's basically the same thing as the other one, David. Israel just, you know, they're ready to lay down their arms or, you know, stop fighting anyway. If they just stop getting attacked. I mean, do these people have any sense at all? Do they not realize that as long as they keep popping Israel. Israel's going to hit them back twice as hard.
Yeah, they're just not getting it. And no, 100%. If Israel backs down, they'll just come at them harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they do. So we'll reiterate this again for all our new listeners. Islam is not a religion of peace. They specifically say in their fake book, the Quran, that they have to create the war. They want to create a war because if you don't believe like they believe, they have to enslave you.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to try and convert you first, enslave you second, or kill you if you just won't convert.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that they have to bring world chaos because that's the only way that their Mahdi will come,
mm-hmm.
is when the world is in complete chaos. So they're striving for that day.
No.
They want to see him come out of his the abyss, because he says he's going to come out of a cave in the ground. You mean the abyss, like a Revelation?
Yeah.
The king of the locusts?
Uh-huh.
That guy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So yeah, we're gonna see this escalate and escalate and escalate. Yes, Israel would, in a heartbeat, if they stopped attacking them, wouldn't attack them back.
Right.
The same with us in the United States. If they don't shoot at us, and we won't shoot you. It's
right.
As simple as that.
Yeah. One thing I did forget to mention earlier is that we had one living American hostage remaining in Gaza, and this week, I believe it was Wednesday. The Hamas terrorists over there made a statement that they had lost contact with the group of people that were holding that particular hostage. And so they did not know what his condition was. Now, I have not heard anything further on that this week. So I don't know if that situation was resolved or if that's still in place. I really don't know. I apologize for not researching that out before the show. But the last I heard, they didn't know his location or condition. So anyway. All right.
Well, we pray for the Lord to find him.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on again, we'll go to Iran and the nuclear talks there. Iran is seeking Russia's support in ongoing nuclear negotiations with the United States. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Argashi met with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Moscow to discuss the first round of talks held in Oman and to prepare for a second round in Rome. Now, this guy praised Russians' previous role in 2015, in the 2015 nuclear deal where Barack Obama sent him nothing but U.S. cash, which collapsed after Iran violated the agreement, resulting in the U.S. withdrawal under President Trump, and with Iran resuming uranium enrichment up to 60%, nearing weapons grade levels. In Paris, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio emphasized the need for sanctions against Iran due to its noncompliance and potential weapons development, urging European allies to consider reinstating, I'll get it in a second, sanctions if Iran remains noncompliant, according to an upcoming IAEA report. It was also widely reported that President Trump has prevented Israel from striking Iran's nuclear plants and developmental facilities. However, and I saw this directly from the president myself on a feed that I have, President Trump stated he did not prevent these strikes, but simply he's not in a hurry to do it. Instead, he's just allowing Iran time to agree to Israeli and U.S. terms in regard to a real nuclear deal. And if they fail to do that, then there will be military action. And if that military action takes place, David, I got a feeling that they're not going to, that the regime there is not going to stand it. They're not going to be able to withhold it from there. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even their own people don't want them in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of that lately.
Yeah, and so they're fed up. So this is going to happen again. So yeah, we got the ebb and flow here. I mean, mm-hmm. things are getting worse and worse. But you never know. You know, it'll come up, and then maybe it'll come down again. It'll come up again. Down
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe things will get a little bit better.
Yeah. Iran is known for trying to drag things out and drag things out. And Israel knows that, you know, that clock toward them getting a bomb is ticking every day. And mm-hmm. you don't, if you really think that they're not working on it right now, then you're crazy.
Oh yeah, they're in here. I still remember that time they did one tiny little thing. All they had to do was infiltrate and set their, what were they, spinners? Like they had set some spinners on high and it ruined all their nuclear stuff.
Yeah, that's I forget what you call those things.
Yeah, the centrifugal something or other.
Yeah, surf. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
But all they did, they did put a simple program in, turn it on high and don't shut it off. That's it. One little line of code destroyed their whole nuclear plan. I was like, that's genius.
Israel, you know, they're in there. They've infiltrated without a doubt. And, okay, let's look at anti-Semitism now. Mm-hmm. In the early hours of April the 13th, Pennsylvania's Democrat governor, Josh Shapiro's official residence, was targeted in an arson attack. The assailant was identified as 38-year-old Cody Ballmer. He got into the property. He broke windows. He threw Molotov cocktails into the residence. The governor and his family and guests were there. The governor was actually asleep when this happened. And then Ballmer called 911, expressing anger over Shapiro's perceived actions toward the Palestinians, stating he would not partake in the governor's plans for what he wants to do to the Palestinian people. Authorities are investigating the incident as a potential hate crime, with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's actually the minority leader, I believe, urging the Justice Department to consider federal hate crime charges. The attack has deeply affected Pennsylvania's Jewish community, evoking memories of the 2018 Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh. Community leaders and residents have expressed heightened concerns over the safety and security of Jewish individuals and institutions in the state. I've got another one here, a couple more actually, on anti-Semitism. But before we move on, David, this is a Democrat governor who was, you know, at one time they thought he might even be the vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris. But of course, he was too smart to be her running mate. But
no, we don't want her to look bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
More idiot.
But, you know, this just shows you that, you know, the Democrats, and I don't think I'm stating anything or going over the top by saying this. The Democrats have been trying to instigate these things. And now all of a sudden mm-hmm. they're getting the blowback. Do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, well, it goes around, comes around. How's that go, right? Mm-hmm. You reap what you sow, the Bible says. And so, yeah. And then karma's a, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
So, it's, you know, you got to expect it. And it's just going to get worse because, you know, it's now all the people that were the green folks that bought their Teslas, now it that came around back on them.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Yeah, they don't even believe
that. It's more nonsense, but that's what the devil does. He'll get everybody to fight against each other, and then this way it can come in and take over.
Amen. All right, let's look at the global surge here. Recent reports indicate a dramatic increase in anti-Semitic incidents worldwide. A study by the World Zionist Organizations and the Jewish Agency for Israel found a 340% rise in such incidents from 2022 to 2024. Countries like Canada, France, the UK, and Germany have reported significant spikes, with Canada experiencing a 562% increase and France noting a 1,000% rise in certain periods. In the United States, the Anti-Defamation League's Global 100 survey revealed that nearly half of adults worldwide harbor significant anti-Semitic beliefs. The survey also highlighted that 69% of Jewish adults in the U.S. have encountered anti-Semitism online or on social media platforms. Then you've got anti-Semitic incidents have notably increased in educational settings. Hillel International reported 1,408 anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses during the 2024-2025 academic year, making a significant rise from previous years. These incidents range from hate speech and vandalism to physical assaults, contributing to a climate of fear among Jewish students. Europe has witnessed a surge in violent anti-Semitic acts. On February 21st, a 19-year-old Syrian asylum seeker attacked a Spanish tourist at Berlin's Holocaust Memorial, reportedly motivated by a desire to kill Jews. The incident underscores the growing threat of anti-Semitic violence in public spaces. Now, the recent arson attack against Governor Shapiro's residence and the global rise in anti-Semitic incidents highlight the urgent need for a comprehensive strategy to combat anti-Semitism. This includes enhanced security measures, educational incentives, and a robust legal framework to address and deter hate crimes. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news on that, but no matter what they do, it's going to continue until Jesus fixes it. Do you know what I mean? That's the bottom line, right?
Well, it hasn't worked for 3,000 years, so let's do it again.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I got this law. Okay. You have a law. So here you are. You hate somebody and you want to kill them and you're going to go get a gun. But oh crap, they made an ordinance against it. So now I can't do that. Come on, people.
Yeah, it's not going to get better. You know, I like I said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know that's just the way it is. And I know there's a lot of people out there say, well, if you do this and you do that, well, no, that won't work either. Whatever you're coming up with, it's not going to work because the Bible tells us it's not going to work. All right, David, we just got just over a minute left, I'll let you talk about whatever you want to there. I do know that we need to make a quick note here about our everyday dose coffee here. Yeah. This is an affiliate, or we're an affiliate of Everyday Dose. And David, go ahead and tell them about it.
Okay, so Everyday Dose. Basically, it's a coffee that was infused with some mushrooms, but it doesn't taste like mud like the rest of them. It actually tastes like coffee. Mm-hmm. So there's more coffee. No jitters, and it just really helped me to level some things out because I drink a lot of coffee. I know, Joel, you don't have the jitters anymore either.
Right.
So we just like it. So we got an affiliate link because that'll help support us.
Right.
But better than that, Jesus made an affiliate link for you. It's called the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And he says, take this blood. It's a new contract for you. So now your old sins are paid for and you don't have to pay for them yourself when you die. And I would highly suggest you do that because the signs are clear. He's coming back. So we'll see you guys in the second half.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmers market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas with Mr. David Paxton here in New York. And you guys noticed I brought us in with this from the river to the sea, and I'm going to put it back up here one more time because we're going to be talking about this quite a bit. And but, you know, you have to really understand the Palestinian issue before you can really comment on it. And a lot of the people here in the United States, I think some, and I want to make that clear, I think some of them really believe what they're being told. I think the majority are just paid protesters, or, you know, just wanting to fight or whatever. But anyway, we'll get to them in a minute. Mm-hmm. I want to finish off the news we have with Christian persecution. Okay, Christian persecution has intensified in 2025 with alarming developments in regions such as Nigeria, in Jerusalem, across the broader Middle East, and even here in the United States. Nigeria remains one of the most perilous countries for Christians, marked by relentless violence and systematic oppression. In April of 2025, coordinated attacks by suspected Fulani militants in Plateau states, Bassa and Bokas areas, resulted in the deaths of at least 113 individuals, including Christians. Over 300 homes were destroyed, displacing more than 3,000 people. A Palm Sunday assault in the village of Siki led to the killing of at least 50 Christians, underscoring the vulnerability of religious communities during sacred observances. And moving right along here, Jerusalem restrictions and hostility during Holy Week. I want to get your comments on this one for sure here in a second, David. Palestinian Christians in Jerusalem facing significant challenges during Easter of this year amid increased Israeli restrictions and hostility. Only 4,000 permits were issued to West Bank Christians, limiting access to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Those granted permits faced stringent conditions, including short validity periods and restrictions on overnight stays. Incidents of police brutality and harassment by ultra-nationalist groups have been reported, contributing to a climate of fear and deterring participation in religious ceremonies. And my question there has to do with Israel. I mean, you know, you think of Israel as being a country where they allow Muslims in, they allow Christians in, I guess any religion. But do you think that Christian persecution in Israel is getting worse, or is this just a continuation of things the way it's always been?
Well, it's mainly by the ultra-religious. Hasidic means they think they're the best people in the world. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of the definition of yeah. Hasidic. Oh, we're mm-hmm. the righteous ones. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. the ones that are really causing the problems against Christians, to the point of assault and things like that. They don't rise to the level of killing them, but they will beat you up in the street and you know spit on you and all sorts of other stuff. Normal Israelis won't do that. Mm-hmm. It is the hyper-religious ones that are causing all these problems. And they're unfortunately the ones that are controlling the whole, you know, Jerusalem, Temple Mount, and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But that's all part of the Matrix, too, because that's the pharisaical branch. And that's exactly what they did to Jesus, too. Mm-hmm. You know, but they'll play the same game. They'll harass you and harass you and harass you and insist somebody else kills you, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they did with Jesus. You know, they harass him and then he insisted that Pilate killed him.
Right. Yeah.
And then this way they could wash their hands of it. Oh, I didn't mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. Okay. There's conspiracy to commit murder. What's that word? That is forcible as well. But and that's just the way it's going to be until they repent.
Okay.
Now, because you got to remember, there's 12 different tribes. So there's all sorts of different people. And there's some that are just the worldly and they don't care about religion at all to the hyper-religious like this. You don't face that much here in New York because they are Hasidic. So they still have those attitudes of being better than everyone else, but you're literally in the midst of 365 different races that you're living in.
Well, so let me ask you a crazy question. And for those of you that follow the show, you know that during the middle week, I'm always asking a stupid question to David. But do they treat Christians and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus the same, or I mean, the way I always looked at it is that Christians weren't mainly as persecuted by the Jews, or, you know, I hate to say that.
Because they basically think that everyone else is just, you know, an insect to them.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter.
But they have a particular hatred for Christians because the quote, church way back when would literally seek them out. I mean, the entire church in Germany during the Holocaust said nothing. As a matter of fact, they kind of cheered them on.
Yeah.
Because they thought the same thing. Even Martin Luther was very anti-Semitic.
Okay.
You know, and here they revere him today, but, you know, he hated Jews.
Yeah.
And the Nicene Council, you know, those guys that created our canon? They were very anti-Semitic. Okay. You weren't even allowed. I mean, here we are, you know, right up on what they are claiming is Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's not. It was actually on the Passover, and that's what the early church, they celebrated the resurrection of Christ after the Passover, that first Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it was always on the same day. It was on a Wednesday he was crucified, and then it was in Wednesday night, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he was in the ground 3 days and three nights, like Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning when they came to get him, he wasn't there.
Right.
So that's why we celebrate on Sunday.
Right.
But they would call them what's called the Quattrodecimans. And the 14ers.
Okay.
They were the 14ers because they wanted to celebrate Easter on the 14th of Nisan every year. And there was in the Essene calendar, they always had the same days were on the same day of the week. It's not like ours.
Okay.
So when you had Passover, it was always that same day of the week. You know, you had all the different feast days, it was always on the same day of the week. Because that's how they set the calendar up. The Babylonian one that they have today is completely way off. Mm-hmm. And our Gregorian calendar is okay, but it's not religious in any sense. It's just they worked it out by the stars, so it didn't really have any play in it. But the Quattrodecimans, they actually banned them from the church when it came around to like 300 A.D., and they say, well, anyone who has any association with the Jews, we're going to excommunicate you from the church. And they've been persecuting the Jews ever since. Okay, that's why we got the Inquisition, you know. That's why you have all these different things through the years. And they remember that because, remember, they tell the story over and over and over. Here we are. They celebrate Passover. How many thousands of years later? And it's still the same Passover story. Yeah. They tell the story. So... when it comes to Christians, they remember the apostasies of the early church.
That makes sense.
And then some people still hold on to that today. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, the Jews, they're bad. And they, you know, God disowned them. And so
it's
all this other
basically nonsense. It's the same, but, you know, Christians are just as guilty toward Jews as Christians, you know, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And so here they are, both of them misunderstanding everything and hating each other.
All right. You got global trends and worsening crisis here. 2025 World Watch List by Open Doors highlights a grim global landscape for Christians. Over 380 million Christians worldwide face high levels of persecution and discrimination. In the top 50 countries alone, 4,476 Christians were killed for their faith in the past year. Nigeria ranks seventh on the list with 3,100 Christians killed and 2,830 kidnapped in 2024 alone. These stats underscore the urgent need for international attention and intervention to protect vulnerable Christian communities, and the escalating persecution of Christians in 2025 demands a concerted global response to safeguard religious freedom and human rights. And as we've already said, that's just not going to happen. Not yet. Okay. Uh-huh. I mean, we'll, it's something we warn people about all the time. Okay, now we're going to get into this. All right. I want to give you all a history of Palestine. The term Palestine, as a national identity adopted by Arabs, is relatively modern, largely emerging in the 20th century. Here's a breakdown of the origins and evolution. Ancient and historical background: before the 20th century, Palestine originates from the Roman term Syria Palestina, renamed in 135 AD by Emperor Hadrian after crushing the Bar Kokhba revolt to minimize Jewish identification with the land of Israel or Judea. For centuries, the term Palestine was used geographically, not as a national identity. It referred to a religion, not a people. Now, under Ottoman rule, this is 1517 to 1917, the land was divided into districts, and there was no administrative or national unit called Palestine. Locals identified primarily as Arabs, Muslims, Christians, Jews, or by tribal or village affiliation. Not as Palestinians. The term Palestinian began to take on a local meaning during the British Mandate following World War I. Notably, before 1948, the term Palestinian referred to all inhabitants of the region, including Jews, Christians, and Muslims. For example, the Palestinian Post is now the Jerusalem Post. It was a Jewish newspaper. Jewish institutions like the Palestine Symphony Orchestra bore the same name. The emergence of the Arab-Palestinian identity, this is 1930s, 1960s. You can see we're getting closer and closer to now. As Zionism grew and the Jewish immigration increased, local Arab populations began to coalesce around a distinct political identity, partly in opposition to Zionism and British rule. The 1936 to 1939 Arab revolt in Palestine reflected rising Arab nationalist sentiment, but still under the broad banner of Pan-Arabism, with Arabian leaders viewing Palestine as part of greater Syrian or Arabian unity, not as a distinct nation. Got one more here, I believe, David, on this one. Post-1948 and the rise of Palestinian nationalism. After the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, Jordan annexed the West Bank and Egypt controlled Gaza. No independent Palestinian state was created by the Arab states. They had an opportunity right then. They had control. The term Palestinian began to specifically be associated with Arabs after the creation of Israel. The Palestine Liberation Organization was founded in 1964, marking the formal political emergence of a distinct Palestinian Arab national identity. And then after Israel was attacked in the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel took control of the West Bank and Gaza. Only then did Palestinian nationalism surge as a defined movement. Okay, now that's the history of it. David, do you have an argument with that, or is that pretty accurate?
No, that's pretty good. Some key points to that is that the term Palestine never referred to a sovereign, independent Arab nation, never, like right. in ancient history or modern history. And the ones that are there today are mostly Arab Muslims and Christians, mm-hmm. and a couple of them have been in the region for generations. Mm-hmm. But it was all started as Bar Kokhba. So what happened is Bar, son of Kokhba, he was the Messiah, you know, because mm-hmm. they didn't accept Jesus. So they had a major Jewish revolt back then. And then you remember Hadrian?
Who?
So no, he was the Roman ruler at the time.
Okay.
Yo,
okay.
Hadrian! The Emperor Hadrian, basically he's the one that destroyed the Bar Kokhba and then the mountain thing, and they all killed themselves. Okay. But what he did on purpose was rename Judea. Because since about 1000 BC, it was named Judea and Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But he named it to Syria Palestina mm-hmm. to try and erase the Jewish identity from the land. And they're still trying to do that today.
Yeah.
That's where we get the name from. It mm-hmm. was even called Palestine before 1948.
Yes.
They just called it Palestine because the mm-hmm. Romans called it that in Palestina mm-hmm. from there. Matter of fact, I don't know if you remember Derek Prince.
No.
He actually moved there, and he says, "I moved to Palestine, and I lived there when the revolt happened in 1948." And then he saw that whole thing happen, so he's got a unique perspective on that. Okay. But that was originally what happened. Is they stole the thing from the river to the sea, because that's what God promised Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see that ocean over there, and you see this river. This is all going to be your land.
Yep. There
so.
It is.
Right they're there. Trying to, again, the devil is trying to take, God's land from mm-hmm. his people. So that's what they're yelling. And these people have no idea. These lunatics.
No,
on
they
the street.
Don't. They don't.
From the river to the sea.
Yeah.
But
that's
what happened
deal.
Is.
Well, look at
he
this
promised
one.
Promised Abraham.
Yeah. Look at this one. And then I'll let you comment on this real quick here. I want to get started with this because we got just a few slides here. Western myths about the Palestinians. Now, well-meaning liberal Americans sympathize with the Arab-Palestinian cause because of the group's determined, decades-long struggle against Israel's superior military might. Recently, that favoritism among Democrats for the first time shifted to a majority who support the Palestinians over Israel. But if supporters of Palestine knew the whole truth, and this is the reason I had you wait because I want you to comment on this, if the supporters of Palestinians knew the whole truth, as the Palestinians tell it, they might reverse their sympathies. Indeed, when we listen to what the Palestinians say and what they do, their underdog image is betrayed by belligerent goals, cruel methods, and values toward the Western civilization. Understandably, liberals sympathize with the Palestinians out of humanitarian instincts. To them, the Palestinians are an oppressed group fighting bravely for their freedom. These defenders see Israel, the Palestinians' foe, as having, for 78 years, tried to deny innocent people self-determination and their rightful share of the Middle East homeland. But this sympathetic portrait of Arab Palestinians is purely the product of Western projection, an imagined assignment to the Palestinians of motives, goals, and values, characteristics of a Western mindset. Western liberals are often shocked when they're exposed to the portrait Palestinians paint of themselves as Arabs and as Muslims, which embodies characteristics in direct contradiction to peace-loving Western values and aspirations. Now, I'll let you finish what you were talking about there, David, or comment on that, or both. Go ahead.
Well, so Abraham was told, okay, this is going to be the land, is mm-hmm. where he was, because that's... Remember the whole Mount Hermon, they all had different territories, but Jesus' territory was here. So he's like, "Oh, this is our territory and you're going to take this." And they're, progressively trying to shrink it mm-hmm. and steal it from God. So, but he also told Abraham, "Listen, your people are going to be stuck in Egypt for 400 years." But now the devil's like, "Oh, that's where he's going." So he laid down this minefield of these giants, these Canaanites in that whole land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He also built up these people called the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And we know the Goliath of Gath, he was a Philistine, right. and they mm-hmm. fought him all the time. And the Philistines were forever trying to steal the land from Israel, but it was given to Abraham way back then. And then even later on, then David came in and he says, okay, this is it. This is Jerusalem. This is the land of God in 1000 BC. And so they're trying to, all the history buffs are like, oh, that was just a myth. David was a myth. They're trying to make up stories and this and that and the other until they found the stones that say from the kingdom of David.
Right.
Oh. So, okay, well, there's that. So now it's the same old story. It's the same Canaanite spirit, the same evil spirit that's still trying to take the same land, usurp the authority from where God has it. Here's the fun part. Jesus will come back and he will stand on Mount Zion. It will literally split in half from him coming into standing on it and then take full authority and will wipe out all of his enemies with one word from his mouth, that double-edged sword that comes out of his mouth.
Right.
I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be something like, enough.
Yeah, over. You
know? Really loud, though.
Done.
And then... You know, they won't be there anymore. So they're just like wiggly little worms and rats backed in the corner trying to change history, even to the point where they're trying to create a time loop so they never have to get to that point. You talk about bizarre quantum stuff. Actually trying to do that. If we create a time loop, then we'll never have to get to where Jesus comes back. No, you forgot. He's outside of time. Okay.
Right.
So, but that's the history of it. And it's just the same people today trying to steal the same territory from way back then.
Okay. All right. Let's look at this one. Perhaps the most significant reason the Palestinians are still fighting is that Israel and its Western allies continue to offer what we think the Palestinians want or should want rather than what they actually do want. Westerners have steadfastly believed that the Palestinians want a state and to live in peace with Israel, and that Israel is preventing the Palestinians from achieving this goal. The problem turns out to be ours. Palestinians tell us what they want and pursue what they want, but we ignore the message. We prefer our enlightened translation. To gain insight into this contradiction, it helps to highlight exactly what the Palestinians tell us and what they tell themselves about the goals and values. To get a handle on it, let's compare Western two greatest myths about Palestinian goals and values with what the Palestinians say and do regarding the major issues. Myth number one, Palestinians want their own state, living in peace beside Israel. The Palestinians flatly reject any Jewish rights to sovereignty in Palestine because they reject the Jews' historical connection to the land of Israel. For example, Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas in 2018 bizarrely called Israel a colonial project, having no basis in history and disconnected from Judaism. And let's move on here with this one. During the Camp David summit in 2000, an attempt by President Bill Clinton to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with a two-state solution, former PLO chief Yasser Arafat asserted that Solomon's Temple was not even in Jerusalem, but was in Nablus. Clinton was flabbergasted at the outright lie, but Arafat refused to back down, just as he refused the Israeli and American offer of statehood. So see, he's turned down the nation of Palestine. Hamas, still the Palestinians' leading political and military force, maintain its charter that the land of Palestine is an Islamic endowment consecrated for future Muslim generations until Judgment Day. The concept in Islam implies that it belongs to Muslims exclusively and cannot be shared with infidels, especially Jews. Furthermore, recent polls show that most Palestinians reject a two-state solution, preferring a single Arab-ruled state. Given this religious and political opposition to a Jewish state, it's no wonder Palestinians teach their children from birth to hate, conquer, and kill Jews. Many videos exist on social media that show children saying they want to fight and defeat the Jews. In short, the notion that Palestinians want a peaceful state next to Israel is betrayed by countless statements from Palestinian political and religious leaders, as well as, curricula at every educational level. Okay, we're running low on time, David, so get back to you real quick. And what do you think of that? I mean, they're saying they want no part of a two-state solution. All they want is an Arab, a Palestinian state. Israel gone.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we've been, saying all along. They don't want that. Their whole mantra, again, is you convert them, you enslave them, or you kill them. And that those are the only options. They are not only encouraged to, but required to lie if would benefit the furtherance of Islam. So they'll lie to your face and tell you anything you want to hear just so you put your arms down. And then when you put down your arms, then they attack. And so you can't do that with these people. You simply cannot do it, because for any reason you put down your arms and say, "Oh, great, it's peace, it's this and that," they're just going to come and attack you.
Right.
Okay. That's what they're designed to do. It's like the scorpion and the frog. Remember him?
Right.
The scorpion asked for frog for a ride to the other side of the river, and he's like, "Why would I take you? You're a scorpion." And he's like, "Well, I just need a ride. I promise I won't do it." He got to the other side and the scorpion stung him. He said, "I said, you promise." He said, "Well, I'm a scorpion. That's what I do."
That's a perfect analogy. It really is.
That's just what they do. Okay. Unless these people get a new heart from Jesus Christ, they are going to continue to believe this, and they're going to continue to teach their children the same thing. So there's going to be a great revival among them, just like there is in Iran right now. And the people, there'll be a great number that no man can number, a great multitude that will receive Christ. But the diehards here, they're going to have an issue, okay? Because the King of Kings is coming. So, and then the ones with the delusion, why? It's just ridiculous. You can't even fathom. What are you talking about? Here you are, a libtard, a homosexual with pink hair and all this other crazy nonsense, and the things and the tattoos and the piercings and all that. They're like, "Free Palestine." Just send them over there. Listen, I'll buy you a ticket.
They'll be killed right away.
You only needs to be a one-way ticket, so we'll all pay for it. If we all grab one of them, they'll be gone, and then you can go over and live in a free Palestine all you want.
I hope they don't ever try it. I really do. I had a couple more, but I want to get to the very last one here real quick because it's important. And that is that claims that Israel stand in the way of Palestinian state are contradicted by a 78-year history of very generous offers to help them. But anyway, Westerners also assume that Israel is preventing the Palestinians from achieving self-determination, but history proves otherwise. Israel's made many offers to the Palestinians who said no each time. Indeed, more often than not, they and their Arab brethren followed up their rejections with violence and bloodshed, forcing Israel into 76 years of defensive actions. And I want to emphasize defensive actions. Remember, even this latest war was caused because the Hamas terrorist invaded Israel, killed a lot of people, raped, and then took people hostage, both living and dead, by the way. All right, David, only a few seconds left. I'll let you close out the show.
Yeah, so again, we're just outlining the end of the age here, and all of this stuff that's happening, the Bible wrote about thousands of years ago. So you have to ask yourself a question. Who could possibly know what was going to happen a couple thousand years later? And that would be the one guy who's outside of our time-space continuum looking down to 100% accurately predict this. The only book to do that ever in the history of the world is the Bible. So if that's true, then the Bible says Jesus came as God down to become a man to pay for your sins. And that's what you need to consider. So we're asking you, please consider Jesus as your Savior. He paid for your sins. And Lord willing, we will see you guys on the next show. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.